So this one I called God Removes Limits. Probably a better title would have been God Removes Limits and God Sets Limits, but we're going to go with God Removes Limits. So let's pray. Father, I pray that today, sometimes you come in quietly, but God, I ask that today you would just burst into the room, that you would burst open the limits that people have over them that are not limits that you have put on them. And we thank you for what you're going to do tonight to remove limits. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so do we have the slide? The slide. I'll just read it, okay? All right. Here we go. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So we're going to talk about how awesome God is tonight. God is not limited. I think we forget that. The scripture that I chose is 1 Samuel 14:6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come and let's cross over the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, because the Lord is not limited by saving by many or by few. I think we forget that when we're the few. When we're the many, it sounds good, right? So how awesome is our God? In Scripture, a limit is a restraint or a hindrance. It's something that kind of puts a lid on us, keeps us from doing something. Also, if you look at Merriam-Webster, you get the word restriction. I think we've all been on restriction, right? We know what restriction is. It's kind of like time out. Time out. Sometimes we know what the limit is. We know what's been put on us. And sometimes we don't know the limit. So where does the limit come from and how can it be removed? I don't know that we actually think about that a lot. Let's look at scripture where God removes limits. Luke 4:18. Jesus is speaking, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. So if you're poor, he has good news for you. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. So if you're a captive, he wants to release you. And recovery of the sight to the blind. I count spiritual sight and physical sight. To set free those who are oppressed. So if you're oppressed, God wants to set you free. Now, if we look at that same scripture in the Amplified, then it takes on a little more meaning. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, which means pardon and forgiveness. How many of us need pardon and forgiveness? To the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, meaning downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy. It isn't always a tragedy, but a lot of the culture is downtrodden, bruised, and crushed. But Father God sent Jesus Christ to remove the limits that have been put on us, on our lives, that were not set by him. The enemy may have set limits on us, or we may have set limits. So limits set by the enemy, what does that look like? I do prayer ministry a lot, have for about 40 years. And what I see are the main things the enemy puts on people. It's when we open a door by sinning, or our family line, somewhere in our generations before us, have opened a door and it stays open unless we have closed that door. And the enemy will take any opportunity. Some examples are word curses like, you will never amount to anything. How many of us heard that one? Yep. And the enemy will use that to limit us. I heard a quote last week, and it was, we either walk in the sins of our fathers or we walk in redemption. And I had to think about that a minute, and I went, you know, it is very clear if you think about it and you look at somebody or you look at yourself and go, in that area of their life, are they walking in sin or are they redeemed? Pretty pretty clear when you make it that simple, right? I wouldn't mention it to them, but you could watch, okay? One of the openings is sexual sins. That is the door that opens to many things. Deception, addictions, disconnection in relationships, it's huge in the culture. Not being wanted. The enemy uses rejection to limit us for the rest of our lives if we don't take it to the Lord and let him remove that limit. Being born into a family that has been disobedient or rejected God. Huge opening, huge opening. Now, those are some instances of how the enemy could set a limit on us and keep us from doing things. But we also set limits, which we don't like to think about. And I think sometimes unknowingly. I don't think we realize what we've done. We just keep moving. So how do we limit ourselves? What causes the limitations? Now, right here, if you've got the app notes, it's going to be off a little bit in the first and second part. I added to it, and somebody made up scriptures and put in there that weren't me. It really was. Must have been a typo. It wasn't Bonnie or Michelle, I promise. So, number one, ingratitude towards God. An ungrateful attitude tells God he hasn't done enough and he isn't enough. Think about that. Numbers 14 shows how ungrateful Israel was in the desert. I mean, they complained about everything. He could have let them starve. And then Luke 15, 17 through 19 shows when the limit comes off. And I think the best example is the prodigal son, his change of attitude. When he became grateful, he got everything back, everything back. Spiritual ignorance. In Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. In Esther 4:15 through 16, Esther went after the knowledge. She went after the wisdom. She went to great lengths. She fasted. She had other people do it. So she did not have spiritual ignorance. So if we use that example, we can come out of the ignorance. Number three is emotions. Ungodly emotions like anger, hatred, resentment, etc. James 1:20 says anger does not bring God's righteousness. We use the other R word, usually revenge, retaliation, right? The other R word. And we can be angry and not sin, but it's difficult, I believe, unless you're mature in the Lord, because you don't see the consequences. But what if I pray for whatever I'm angry at? It'll have more effect than if I try to retaliate or hate whoever it is. Number four, lack of knowledge or truth. This is probably the biggest one I see. Wrong thinking is probably the biggest one. The way that we set limits on ourselves. In scripture, it's called lies. Currently, in the culture, it's called limiting beliefs. It's just a lie, right? And what it is it's a judgment about ourselves that we think to be true that restricts us in some way. We think it's true, but it limits us. And sometimes we don't know it limits us. We've only lived that way. We do not know the difference. Now, some common limiting beliefs are I'm not good enough, I'm too old or too young, I don't have enough time, I'm not smart enough, I don't have enough experience, I'll never be successful. I don't have enough money, I'm not talented enough, and I will never be a great leader. Hearing truth about us, what God says about us, breaks the shackles of those things off and frees us from self-imposed limitations. My favorite example is Gideon in Judges 6:15. It says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? Like, who am I? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family. And God spoke truth and removed the inadequacy and changed his identity. Now, from his limit, his identity being changed and the limit being taken off, look how many people it affected. Many. All right, number five is sin. We all know that one, right? We hear that one a lot. The example I used is Miriam and Aaron. They opposed their leadership, which is Moses. You don't mess with leadership. And that isn't just Old Testament, that's New Testament. If you don't like your leader, you better be praying, right? And when they came against Moses, God put leprosy on Miriam. I mean, it wasn't something that happened 10 years later. It was immediate so that she could see what she had done. And then Aaron begins to repent for their sin, and God ticked the limit off by physically healing her. Her life would have been over. She would have been outside the camp. Think of that limit. Yeah, no thank you. Number six, disobedience. Disobedience leads to destruction. Look at Jonah. My goodness, that boy was rough. He was disobedient on purpose. But when he repented and God removed the limit, he then led all of Nineveh to repentance. Can you imagine your limit coming off and that many people being helped? We don't think about it. We think it's just our problem. Nobody will ever know. We'll just watch TV tonight. No problem. All right. I hear some giggles. Okay. Number seven, relying on self-strength and self-knowledge. I grew up in a family that you just do it yourself or die. So you learn to do it. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord." Samson is a great example. Samson finally acknowledges God's strength in Judges 16:20 and 28. But he tried to do it in the flesh and didn't go well. The last one, holding on to guilt of past sins. I see this a lot. Now, the example I chose, I don't know where, but I never saw this before. Holding on to past sins. Matthew 27:3-10. Judas repented. I don't remember Judas repenting, but it says he repented. But held on to what he had done, and he took his own life. Because he held on to it. In today's culture, especially sexual sins, abortions, rebellion, betrayal, cause us to limit ourselves. We disqualify ourselves from our calling and our destiny. Now, we wouldn't say that. And if we had a small group and we went around the group, you would not mention that. But sitting there underneath everything else that you stay busy with, it sits there. God can remove the limit that we've put on our lives. So examples of God removing limits. And now I ask permission to share these things. Is there a clock up there with time? I have no idea how much time has gone. 7:30? Okay. All right, so I've asked permission to share. So the first one is my own. I asked God for an example, and he gave me permission to share. Okay. So in 2000, year 2000, I had seen this, and I've talked about it, but not in this way. I was in Frank Meadows' office. He's a licensed counselor. And he asked the Lord to show me where the anxiety was coming from. I had huge anxiety. And he helped me process the memory of my mother trying to abort me. Or she was at least part of it. I'm not sure she was doing it all by herself. But she definitely said okay. And at the end of processing the memory, when I asked the Lord what he wanted me to know, this time, instead of saying what he had said before, he said, he took the limit off of me that day. And it made a way for many others to have limits removed. Many to be delivered from abuse, many to be healed, many to know Christ. God removed the limits. And I actually saw a picture of me sitting in his office, and just out of the top of my head, it was like all these people, generations of people, just started flowing because the lid had come off of me. So that's true of you if your limit comes off. So God spoke truth, and the anxiety left that day that I had since I was in the womb. So you don't have to live with that. Okay, the second example is Erica. Everybody never just wave. That's Erica. She's worked hard, very hard, on removing her limits. And I have not been easy. I kick butt. But she's a ruler, prophet, teacher. She's a strong gifting. And I'll just lay it on her, and she goes, okay, and she'll work on it. So here's what she said in her words. I have permission to share, okay? The limit the enemy put on her was a lie that she believed. She says, I was disqualified for my destiny and purpose by what I had done and what others had done to me. And when the limit came off, she says, now I get to walk in my purpose and destiny by calling others into their purpose and destiny, especially children and families. Go, Arika. How awesome is God? Isn't God awesome? Now, there are limits that can be set by God, but they're good limits. We may not know why. It's like when we're a two-year-old, mom says you can't do that. Sometimes we have a tantrum. But we, if you know God well enough, you'll know there's some reason why you have that limit. So when your parents say, we're not going to pay for that university, we'll only pay if you go to this one, maybe God's working through that to say there's something going to happen there. So one example is a guy that did what his parents said, and that's where he met his wife. You wouldn't want to miss that one, right? Okay. All righty. So how awesome is God? Isn't he great? Okay. So we've been talking about ungodly limits that put on us or we put on ourselves. But now I want to talk about limits that God can set for our good. And this, I also ask permission to use it, okay? So this story, I have Kleenex, okay, in case we need them. We'll pass them around, okay? This happened probably 15 years ago, right here. And we were having a Greater Glory night, which is like awakening. Pastor David was here. And what we would do is we would just worship like we do at awakening, just for a long time. And then there were several of us that were on the ministry team that were prophetic, and he would just say, if you get anything, come up, we'll do it. Or we would tell him, and he would do it. So the Lord showed me something, so I walk over to him, and I said, I feel like we're supposed to line up chairs. See these chairs? These chairs. And I saw it like this, and we're supposed to pray over the Shedd family. He goes, go for it. So I've got everybody up here lining up chairs. And it was kind of cute. We're in front of, the service is going on and people are watching. And Allison comes over to me. You know how gracious Allison can be. And she says, Esther, we have 7 children, not 8. And I went, God said 8. She goes, prophesied probably. Over. Now, none of us, the 3 of us, remember what was said. We didn't tape things back then, and I don't think we even knew what was going on, right? The significance of it. So we did that. And as we prayed, this was the chair that was empty. And so, you know, being prophetic, we prayed and prophesied over the empty chair also, right? Because if God put the chair there, there was a reason. Now, I don't think I knew the significance of it then that I know now. So we had forgotten, and when I was asking God about examples of good limits, this was the example that he gave me. Now, I believe that God had a reason why the Shedd family didn't have 7, and why they didn't have 9, but they had 8, right? I think Allison says it's an octave, and she says, you know, that works for her. So I was thinking about it this week. Why would God have included Brennan when we didn't know him yet? It was so important because they were being prayed over as a family. And before he was born, God included him in the prayer. Isn't that cool? Now look at how many chairs. That's the Shedd family. That's how many right there. Isn't that huge? Yes. It could have been they didn't fit in the van if they had more. You know, I don't know. But I do believe that Brennan counts. And God wanted him included in the prayer and the prophecy for this family. And God set the limit. It was a good limit. It was perfect for the Shedd family. Let's take it off, right? So you can ask him, what's the limit the enemy has put on me? What's the limit I have put on myself? And how can it be removed? Right? Might be easier to see everybody else's, but try staying in your lane, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. What I want to do is pray for you about the limits. Okay? So if you'll close your eyes, we're just going to take a few minutes and ask the Lord about the limits. Father, you know the limits that have been placed on everyone in this room and everybody watching online. And we may not have been conscious of the limit because we believe life is hard and it's just the way things happen. And we just need to keep moving on. We don't realize it could be lifted, it could be taken off. And so tonight, God, I ask that you would remove the limits, that you would reveal to each one here what the limits are. If it's a limit they've put on themselves, if it's a limit the enemy has put on us, or God, a limit that you set for our good that we're fighting against. And it could be all three. And so, God, we just ask you right now to remove those limits. And Father, I ask that you would empower us to move through the limits. I pray that you would give each one a vision of when that limit comes off, that lid comes off, what could happen for many other people. Think how many people we can touch. Show them a vision, Lord, of how big this is. God, you are awesome. And as I was thinking about this today, and I think it was a little bit yesterday, I thought about, what if it wasn't an individual? What if there was a limit on church that we hadn't thought to ask? And so even maybe in prayer tonight, we could say, God, is there a limit on anything at all in our church body or in our building or whatever it is that you would like to remove? And then if we're conscious of it, we can make an effort to remove that. Or what about your family? How many people have a prodigal? A prodigal is a limit. Because if that prodigal comes home and has those resources that God wants them to have, can you imagine what could happen? Imagine the party, right? And we need a banner that we could use called How Awesome Is God? That we could put over our front door saying, look what God did in our place. So, Father, we thank you that you put good limits, and I pray that we would see the good limit and that we would abide by the limit and that we would trust you, that we would trust you. And Father, I pray that you, when you remove the limits off of us personally, that you would empower us to move forward in life. And if, Father, if they need help, I pray that you'd bring somebody alongside them to help them remove that limit. And we thank you that you are a limit-removing God. And we ask, Lord, I declare a blessing over these people here and online, Lord, that you would bless them and bless their families. And just like a river or a stream of limits flowing out of here, that, Lord, the blessings would flow in. And we just thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Might as well use them for a sit-down prayer line, huh? But my curiosity was satisfied after you told us what they were for. Because I was sitting back there going, what are them chairs up there like that for? So, good evening, everyone. Y'all ready to pray some more? Yeah. Welcome to Wednesday night prayer night. Esther's already kicked us off in prayer. So, as is the norm, we're going to start out in worship.